This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Douglas Johnson, Legislative Director for the National Right to Life Committee. Now that we have a final Senate bill that will probably be approved by lawmakers on Christmas Eve, we want to get his thoughts on the actual abortion language, which was supposedly the hang-up on this bill. However, many pro-life groups are now saying that this language is anywhere close to the language contained in the House bill. And Doug, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Earlier today, I spoke with the director of Nebraska Right to Life, Julie Schmidt-Albin, and she says that not only is this language not to the extent of the Stupak language, it's not even as good as the original language in the bill that Harry Reid wrote up. What can you tell us about what's in here and where it stacks up?
Well, the Senate language is very bad. They did not fix any of the fundamental abortion problems that were in the original Senate bill, and they actually added some new problems and complications. And so we've got now, the situation is that the House has passed a bill where they adopted a good pro-life amendment, the Stupak Amendment, back on November 7. The Senate has passed this very different bill, and the two bills are going to go to a House-Senate conference committee where these differences are going to be hammered out. And, you know, a conference committee can even do something entirely different. What is important for people to understand is that the final bill, the bill that the conference committee produces, has to pass both houses. And so our efforts and the efforts of pro-life citizens around this country should be to communicate with their federal representatives in the days and weeks just ahead, expressing their strong opposition to enactment of this legislation unless it's got good, solid pro-life language. And I mean pro-life language that's acceptable to the pro-life community, which the Senate bill certainly is not.
Douglas, obviously, Bart Stupak, the congressman from Michigan who spearheaded the pro-life language in the House, is already on record saying what's come out in the Senate bill is not acceptable to him, and obviously he's going to have a number of lawmakers on his side if the Senate language makes it into the final bill. You're as good of a head counter on Capitol Hill as anyone. If the Senate language is in the final bill, will this pass the House?
Well, that is going to depend on what the lawmakers are hearing from their constituents in the weeks immediately ahead. There were 41 Democrats who voted for the health care bill back on November 7, but only after it had been fixed on abortion. So the real question is, how many of those 41 are willing to withdraw their support from the bill itself if the bad abortion language is not taken out? Mr. Stupak, as you indicated, has already put out a statement making it clear he's not going to vote for the bill. He's going to withdraw his support. How many will stand with him? That depends on what they're hearing from their constituents. If they feel like nobody back home is going to support them in that stance, if they're just going to get pounded for it by the editorial boards and various interest groups, then there won't be very many. If they're hearing from a lot of people back home who say, do not trade off anything else for the pro-life cause, then there may be enough. It's a perilous situation, but this can still be stopped if enough people speak out.
Douglas, what is problematic most of all with the Senate language as you can understand it so far, and what would it need to change to in order to be acceptable?
Well, the principles that we need to have in the bill are that federal funds don't pay for abortions, federal funds don't subsidize health plans that cover abortion on demand. Those principles were adopted by the House when they adopted the Stupak Amendment. They're not in the Senate bill. Under the Senate bill, federal subsidies would go to pay the premiums of health plans that cover abortion on demand. And there are other problems as well. It took three pages for us just to summarize the problems in the Senate language that's likely going to pass the Senate this week. There are also problems related to end-of-life issues. We are very much concerned that some of the language in the Senate bill would lead to people being unable to get life-saving medical care because of various government policies and decrees, often described as rationing. So there's multiple right-to-life problems with the Senate bill. And this is going to a conference committee now, which is going to be controlled by the leadership of the House and Senate, the Democratic leadership. They are not friendly to our cause, but they have to take into account whether they can pass the final bill. And if Congressman Stupak has got enough other House members joining him who say, do not send us that bill without the good pro-life language in it, they have to take that into account because they have to get a majority in the House for the final bill. They have to get 60 votes in the Senate for the final bill. So there is still time to turn this around. But the fact that this is coming out of the Senate in such bad shape is a real wake-up call, or should be, for people around this country. There's only a couple of more hurdles now in the path between this bad legislation and the president's desk.
We're talking with Douglas Johnson on the National Right to Life Committee. And, Mr. Johnson, what contact did you have with Senator Nelson last week, and how surprised were you that he ended up going with this type of language when he sounded like he wanted pretty much the same language that ended up in the House bill?
Well, you know, it's our general policy not to discuss publicly our communications with individual members of Congress. If they want to, that's up to them. But it certainly, every member of Congress who has any interest in these matters is very clear on what our standards are, what policies we think need to be incorporated into this health care legislation. And indeed, the Senator Nelson himself 2 weeks ago offered an amendment that would have fixed the abortion problems with the bill. Unfortunately, the amendment was defeated. Now, it's our view that the legislation just should not move forward without that type of language. And we're disappointed that he reached a different judgment on that and accepted language that we believe just doesn't do the job. But the important thing now to focus on is that there are additional stages in this process that this legislation still has to surmount. And in the end, if we have enough support, particularly in the House, they are going to have to fix it, or they won't be able to pass their bill. But that's an if. That depends on what those House members are hearing from their constituents in the days and weeks immediately ahead. And, you know, they're going to be going home for a break pretty soon, so people will have a chance to talk to them directly in many cases around this country. And we certainly think that pro-life citizens ought to communicate directly with both senators and House members about how important this issue is to them. The situation can change rapidly, and so we encourage people to visit our website frequently at nrlc.org, where we always have the latest updates on what's happening with this legislation.
Last question for you, and this is a procedural question on the Senate floor. We've heard different analyses of whether or not it'll take 60 votes again on a conference report to get to a final vote. What's your understanding on that?
Yes, the conference report is subject to debate, and therefore there is a 60-vote requirement there as well. So the final bill will have to command 60 votes in the Senate before it can go to the president.
And we'll keep watching for how that vote shakes up as well. Douglas, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you.
Douglas Johnson is Legislative Director at the National Right to Life Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.